Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dom and Colin, aka the Matt and Scally podcast. We are here to talk about the Challenge Season 35 Total Madness Reunion, Parts 1, Parts 2, the finale, the final, the whole season, because we have a special guest with us today who you know quite well. But before he hops on in here, Scally, how are you doing? Are you excited to talk about the epic, crazy reunion we just got?
I'm doing better than the, you know, like we said, 2.5 hours of reunion we got here. But overall, excited to go through the season with our guest, if you want to even call him that on this network.
But, yes, definitely yeah. Our guest. I think he's fully our guest. We are in a space where this is our guest on this podcast. You know him, you love him. Colin Stone, welcome to your own podcast.
Hey, thank you, guys. It always feels weird and almost like I'm cheating the system being able to be a guest on my own podcast. But I'm always happy for the opportunity. I certainly have a lot to be getting into with everything we saw go down. Maybe less so in the reunions, but at least the last few weeks since I've been on talking the challenge with you guys. So thank you for having me.
Of course, yes. Throwback to like the first time that we all did this together, and the first time that we all were on a call after Scally and I started doing things, and I fully expected that you were hosting. You thought that I was hosting, and that was a strange time trying to figure out who was actually supposed to host. I was like, I'm not hosting you on your own show. That's weird. But if Scally was able to do it a couple weeks ago, then I see no reason why not. So that's where we are. But yeah, as you mentioned, you haven't been on to talk about the season since like halfway through, probably around the Jordan Torrey exits. So I guess like overall, if you want to just dive right into it, we'll get to the reunion, the everything else as we go on here. But how did you feel about how everything played out?
So I maintained, certainly at the very least, my interest in the season and was happy at the end for Jenny and Johnny Bananas, for their co-win there. I think just Bananas winning again is just kind of inherently going to be an interesting storyline for just the grander picture of the challenge as a franchise. So just given how long it's been since that has happened, I am certainly intrigued by how that's going to play out going forward, because at least as far as I can tell, it doesn't seem like he's too interested in like going out on top and retiring now with one last ride off into the sunset. It seems like he still wants to continue being a pretty notable part of this show. So that is definitely going to be something that is going to keep me hooked on the kind of season after season, the grander scheme, I guess, kind of challenge storylines for sure. And furthermore, I thought this season with the Red Skulls was so noticeably different from the, at least the most recent seasons of the challenge, that I think almost deliberately have kind of blended together. I know they've framed them in terms of we have this trilogy of Dirty 30 through whatever, and then back-to-back War of the Worlds seasons. I don't think it's an accident or a coincidence necessarily that those seasons all potentially blend together a bit more, and this one, just by virtue of not falling into either of those molds, was going to stand out. But it really fascinates me how much of an impact the Red Skull twist had on this season, and all of these big time challenge legends throwing themselves into eliminations to go get their Red Skulls early and getting punished for it time after time after time. That is what I think I'm going to remember most about this season, is just how much that twist ended up impacting how the season played out compared to how it may have otherwise. So yeah, I don't have any major specific headline I'm like dying to get into right off the top, but there's definitely a lot of things from this season that have stood out to me, especially now having seen how it all played out.
Yeah. Scally, we've been away from, I guess, the main action of the season for about like almost feels like a month now since like the final started, since all these reunions. What are you feeling like, all these weeks away about the Red Skull twist? Probably the same as where we left off, but I guess just remind me.
Yeah, about the same. I don't know that I need to see it again necessarily right away. Although, with people seeing how it did play out and having no one get kicked off by the end because there were no more opportunities for Red Skulls, maybe people will be a little more hesitant to throw themselves in so early on. But ultimately, I think what we saw in the last couple weeks of the show is that the intrigue comes from people trying to stay out of eliminations rather than accepting the fact that they have to go in at some point.
Yeah, do you see the Red Skulls coming back? Maybe not every season, but at some point down the line?
Maybe some version of them, but I don't know if it is like with the knowledge that like, oh, there's going to be a purge at the end. And if you already have a Red Skull, you can sit out of that purge maybe. So like there's kind of like a which would you rather go for? But I don't know that we are going to get another season. It feels kind of like last season. Maybe the producers aren't so happy with how the people played this twist.
Yeah, it may be. Sorry to go less than probably 10 minutes at this point.
Go wherever you want.
In terms of bringing up Survivor stuff. But it seems like a repeat of the Red Skull twist, at least anytime soon, would probably go a lot differently. The same way I would say, with good reason, fire tokens would probably be approached a lot differently if, you know, whenever they are implemented again on Survivor, just having seen how everything played out on Winners at War. Wes, I think it was, made a comment in one of the reunions when talking about his decision to go down and face Bananas in elimination about how he felt strongly, like he was at least led to believe that there was going to come a time when TJ would say, okay, that's the cutoff. Everyone who didn't go down and get a Red Skull by now, you should have taken more initiative. You're out of here. And I would imagine if they were to do this Red Skull twist again, we would see a lot fewer people actively trying to go down there and get a Red Skull early, just having seen how unimportant that was the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. They all, as we saw throughout the season, consistently thought, you know, especially towards like what weeks like 7, 8, 9, 10, that everybody thought that it was going to be their last chance to ever go in there and get a Red Skull. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you get to the end and there's just one available for every single person along the way. Like everybody had an opportunity to get one. The people, like, I don't know. I feel the same way that I did. I think, you know, going back a couple weeks into the season as well, this season was really kind of a letdown for me as an overall picture. There were some storylines that I thought were interesting, you know, to kind of carry us through at least, you know, towards the next season or whatever it is. And there were some eliminations that were good. There were some, a couple of moments that were good, but so many things just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. The fact that so many people didn't seem to want to be there. The fact that so many people were like, you know, just what we're talking about, throwing themselves in because they needed to get the skull, which, you know, in most other seasons, we wouldn't have seen that happen. Of course, you know, people just want to get their way to the final without going into elimination. So while I want to see people have to fight their way there, you kind of want to see it happen organically, or at least that's how I started feeling by just watching everybody, you know, jump in there to because they had to. It definitely has its upsides and downsides, and I think the fire tokens comparison is a good one because, you know, they both shows took some big swings by introducing a new element that really does change the game in pretty big ways. And, you know, it's, if they want to use it every season going forward, there's going to be repercussions, you know, especially for this, because we saw how everything all played out. So
I was going to ask how much you thought this Red Skull twist and people actively wanting to go into eliminations and thus kind of giving a break to the people who might have otherwise been thrown in time after time after time had to do with particularly Bananas making it as far as he did and then winning. Because it seems like, yet again, for however many seasons it was in a row, obviously he and Wes had a good thing going, at least for a while on this season. But another quote that stood out to me from one of the reunions was him talking about how this is the first time he can remember in however long it's been that he's like come back from one of these challenges feeling like he's made a new friend. I know people talked for a long time about how just cursed Bananas was after everything that went on with Sarah in, I think it was Rivals 3. And I do wonder if there may be something to the idea that the Red Skulls really did help him make it to the end.
I would say absolutely. I mean, Scally, you jump in here as well, but like, I don't see any way that somebody like, I mean, not, I don't want to count it out completely because look, we just saw CT make it to a final last season. There's different circumstances that help different people get to a final, but in this specific season, yeah, people were not getting thrown in after they already had their skull because other people still needed to go in. So even if there was a common target in the house, like we saw the Corey side seemed to have numbers. He had Corey, it was Corey, it was Fessy, it was Nelson, it was some of the girls that they had on their side as well. Anissa at a certain point, I think, was kind of with them. They had people that they could have potentially made some kind of move, but when people like Corey and Nelson and Kyle and Josh still all need to get a red skull, there's no room to even try to get bananas out towards the end because everybody's begging and pleading and, you know, it just doesn't seem like there's much room to actually play the game.
Yeah, I mean, you see like week after week there's people throwing themselves in, so that takes up a spot from someone ultimately getting screwed over. And then even in the later weeks, like when Corey was so mad that Fessy didn't pull him into the tribunal, that really, I mean, we don't have any confirmation, it still feels like Corey wanted to make a move there and ultimately wasn't able to in like the 2 weeks that a move would have even been available to make. So I feel like basically, you know, we would have seen a completely different group of people running the final had the Red Skull twist not been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I do wonder, in just kind of thinking about the people who have been dominant over the last few years on the men's side versus the kind of current state of the larger political game, maybe this is influenced by having this weird elimination order this season and a lot of people potentially going a lot further than they otherwise would have if so many heavy hitters weren't eagerly throwing themselves into elimination going forward. But we certainly know Jordan is going to be taking some time off at the very least. I don't know what the status is on Turbo or, frankly, the status is on international people being on upcoming seasons of the challenge. And as we've talked through, despite connecting with Wes in a positive way for the most part on this season, I don't know if Johnny Bananas has really done enough with a cast that is generally 24, 30 people deep to rehabilitate his image with enough people that he's going to be like a major social political force going forward. Who do you feel like in whatever season 36 ends up being is well positioned on like the men's side to be a favorite? Is it the young is it like Fessy or some one of these Big Brother people who seem to have a lot of friends now in the current iteration of challenge casting?
You think we don't see you trying to find out our draft picks early? You think you're slick? Come on. What do you think this is? We're not giving that up so easily. No, but yeah, there's a couple different names that I think could rise to the top. And before I get before I lose this thought about Bananas, I just wanted to say, I mean, we did a pretty good job this season talking about the show without two certain names being involved. And I'll only bring up one here because that's the only person that I'm that's relevant to what I have to say. But I think it is a very big deal for Bananas doing well in this season that Kara wasn't there, because when they, you know, they have worked together before, but on a lot of recent seasons, something happens where people just flock to Kara and want to work with her. In like we saw last season, Kara's cult was an alliance. Like, what world are we living in where I wouldn't have expected that, I should say, like just a couple seasons ago, to see so many people flocking to working with her. She doesn't go into eliminations. Nobody ever throws her in. So it just feels like when you have such polarizing figures in the house, like, I don't know why CT and Wes and some of the other people that are kind of like on that, you know, status of elite challenge, you know, legend, don't seem to have that same polarizing thing about them. But Bananas draws people to him in the same way that I feel like Kara does. And when Kara's not around, a lot of people are flocking over to the Banana side. And then he ended up, you know, doing relatively well this season. I feel like, say, Kara's on 36 and you have Kara and you have Ashley and you have whoever else kind of builds that thing back up, that's the crew that starts to take down Bananas. That's when you have, you know, when Paulie was there, sorry, I had to say the name, when Paulie was there and he, you know, was working on different plans to get Bananas out, and then Josh came into the mix and that whole Paulie Josh thing got separated because Josh took Bananas aside. I don't know. I just think Bananas' success not fully depends on Kara being there, but does depend on obviously the format and on certain players being there. I don't know if that was too much of a tangent, but I just didn't want to forget that thought.
No, it's a really good point. And in thinking about it, I mean, you guys have certainly heard my takes on Pauly over the years, but if Bananas and Pauly were both on season 36, I don't think it would be crazy at all to feel like Pauly has a much better chance of winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was going to be one of the names that I brought up. They will probably get into it at some point, but a whole bunch of seasons just got dropped on CBS All Access for anyone that's trying to watch old seasons. And the two faces that are on there are Bananas and Kara. So I don't think they're done with her. I think she's coming back. And I think that probably comes with Pauly. So I think he is still, has a win ahead of him.
Yeah. In the past, sorry, go ahead, Colin.
No, I was going to, as much as I would not want to have these words come out of my mouth, I know I've said before that as unfortunate as I may find it, I do think Pauly, on whatever season he's on anytime soon, is in there with some serious win equity.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, in the past, I think in the past 2 weeks since we last podcasted, there was like that rumor that popped up of Pauly potentially being on Big Brother again, which was just a TMZ report where they got the wrong Calafiore brother. But it's crazy how much time has passed since we have. I don't think we had gotten to that rumor the last time. But no, Pauly will not be on Big Brother. He has denounced that show many times, does not like it. He will wait for the challenge calls until he has been like four seasons out making apology videos on Twitter, like Devin just did, and begging MTV to call his phone again. We can get to that as well if we remember it at the end of this. But what else? I mean, yeah, so Pauly's definitely a name that I would consider for that question that you asked 10 minutes ago that I didn't answer. And Fessy did well this season, but I really think a lot of the Big Brother people were really benefiting from this twist. I don't know that I see Casey, Fessy, Bailey all making it to a final without, that usually rookies get thrown in early. Usually it's like, let's put one of the rookies against a big name if we want to make a big move, and like put Ashley against Casey or something like that would kind of be how things go. And D would have been in there more earlier on. So yeah, twist and all this kind of stuff. It was a weird season for me. So
yeah, I don't know. It definitely a weird season that I think we're all in agreement would not have played out anything close to this way without that Red Skull twist in there. But given that it was in there and that all these Big Brother people did end up going so far, I wouldn't say any of them particularly blew me away as characters, but I do buy that this will continue to be a thing that MTV returns to, and that at least a couple of them could be long-term contenders here. And in particular, Fessy is the one who stood out to me, just because at the end of, maybe not the greatest social game we've ever seen or political mind we've ever seen. Not that he's actively terrible socially, but and maybe could use some work on like the math problems or whatever. But when it comes to the prize money distribution, being able to win a final is of the utmost importance. And Fessy is the one who really stood out to me in that respect, in terms of being able to come back and hang in like any given season or any given challenge they throw at him. I didn't see Fessy's actual Big Brother season, so I really have no idea what I'm talking about in terms of his ability to like maneuver through a social political game. But so far, I don't know what to make of it, essentially because of the Red Skull twist impact. But would he be, Matt, for you, the Big Brother newbie that stood out the most, or am I seeing what I want to see, or what do you think, I guess, about the future of just the Big Brother kids and their success on the show?
See, even when you're not hosting, you're still hosting. It's incredible. I think Fessy definitely showed out this season. He showed what a physical beast he can be, but it's the kind of thing where on a different season where there's more opportunities to throw that person in, I can see him being thrown in a little bit earlier or a little bit more often, maybe, because people are going to want to get him out. And when there's more opportunities, when there's more spots available for those eliminations, I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. That being said, he's also linked up with a decent amount of people that seem to be kind of in this recurring spot. At the very least, talking about Corey and Nelson, the two of them had a good season overall, a couple of bad moments, especially from Nelson, at least from Nelson. But I would not be surprised to see the two of them on 36. In fact, I would expect it. And I would also expect Fessy at this point. So I feel like if he can ride with that crew, I don't see any reason why he should be in too much trouble. But I don't know. He's just never going to be the most forward-thinking player. I know he's working on a lot of it, but as of right now, we have nothing to show me that he is that player. So if you were asking of the Big Brother players. I mean, Casey also showed potential because look at her social game as well. You know, she had everybody wanting to be friends with her, to put it that way. And obviously also the physical stuff. And then you had those two probably above the pack between Bailey, Swaggy, Josh, even Jay, if you want to count him in there with the CBS crew. I feel like Fessy and Casey had the best first season.
Yeah, and Casey, I'm sure I would have a bigger reaction to her ability within the game if she was a more interesting TV personality. No disrespect on that front, but she definitely seems like on a physical level, she can certainly hang with pretty much whatever they throw at her there. I guess Fessy, this will sound like damning with faint praise. He seems like he has at least Hunter upside to me in terms of being able to just kind of brute force his way through any given season. And if he really does set his mind to it, this is obviously a lofty comparison, but I could see him being a turbo type who just barely has to even bother with the social game because he's so dominant physically.
All right, I think he's definitely somewhere in the middle there. Let's not throw
it. I'm not calling him Turbo, don't worry.
But yeah, I don't know. I have faith in Fessy. Like, when I'm looking at the eliminations, I really only two do I think he wouldn't have had a good shot on this season. Overall, I think Fessy's going to be the favorite in a lot of eliminations. So yeah, he's probably going to get thrown into a lot more on his next season. But I have a relative amount of faith in him to be able to do well still.
By the way...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Mine's totally unrelated.
No, please, 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 please. I was going to move on.
I was just going to say, it's. I found it funny. I'm positive it was just a pure coincidence. But as you guys flagged up on the podcast, Fessy talking about his NFL prospects as like the 30th best tight end in his class was very funny to me, just considering how few tight ends generally get drafted in any given year. And I was happy, though, because it must have been a fun moment for Fessy to get to be on the Zoom reunion with Vernon Davis, who I'm guessing most Challenge fans weren't particularly familiar with. But from what I can remember, Vernon Davis might be literally like the highest drafted tight end of our lifetimes or very close to it. He was like certainly a top 10 pick in whatever season he came out, which is like exceedingly rare for tight ends. So I did want to say, first of all, loved Vernon Davis as the host of the Zoom reunion. I thought he did a really good job there. And if Fessy couldn't get the win, I hope he at least got to have some fun talking with Vernon Davis.
And maybe I was going to say, I'm kind of over the let's get XYZ, whatever pro athlete is available to host these reunions, feel like they don't watch the season, so they don't know what's like to pry on. And
they said he was a Challenge super fan.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I don't feel like he was like, okay, so here's a question. No. Okay, moving on. Like, I need you to pry a little bit if you're actually watching this so closely.
I was wondering at certain points if like, he wasn't even interacting with them in real time, and they just filmed him asking all of the various questions over the court that they would need for the, for the reunion.
That reunion was a wild ride. I do want to get there. We have a lot that we're going to get to with, talking about the different storylines that kind of played out at the reunion and just some other things from the season that, of course, Colin, we want to get your comment on. But before we get there, let's just take a stop down at the final. Do you have any thoughts watching the one part? Was it one part or two parts?
It's
been so long. One part final where we had obviously Bananas and Jenny take home the win. And then a couple of the other people that we've been talking about that made it to the final, including the then pregnant Melissa. We had Bailey, we had Corey, Kyle, and a couple other people. So do you have any takeaways from watching all that?
Yeah, so the final, first of all, love having the final all in one night. I guess I can deal with the final being split apart like two episodes, but then you find out the winner before the reunion. The thing that I hated was they didn't do it too often, but I remember it was when Camilla won the season where she wouldn't even be at the reunion because she'd already like had ties severed with MTV, and it was like a three-part reunion before they revealed the winner, and that was just absolute torture. And thankfully they've never gone back to that sense that I remember, so shout out to them for condensing it all into one night. I would say the final itself, based on what I was expecting when I saw at the starting line TJ pointing off to a mountain several miles in the distance, saying this is all going to end at the top of that mountain, and knowing it was a multi-day thing and the freezing cold and the snow, I would say I was kind of underwhelmed, at least by like the TV presentation of how all of that played out. And maybe I'm trying to like have my cake and eat it too here. Maybe they can't really get into all of how hardcore it is, just given how little time they have to get through everything if they want to do it in one night. And I think I heard that there were entire like sections of the final just like entirely cut for time, so maybe that's playing a role for it too. But where did you guys land on that in terms of I thought this was going to be kind of a return to the absolutely insane finals they did for a while 4 or 5 years ago, in that range or so, and it did seem like a noticeable step up from some of the other more recent ones where they're just running around a courtyard doing a puzzle or whatever. But at least for me, the final itself was a little underwhelming.
Yeah, Scally.
Yeah, under. I mean, we had on War of the Worlds 1 where it was like everyone is literally running a marathon between 2 days. It was like, so like you don't have to be that hard, but at the same time, like I feel like last season, while they're still struggling to find like what's appealing on TV sometimes, like this did not work at all basically for me. But I don't know, I feel like there's
it may literally be that like snowshoeing and cross-country skiing were just not that compelling.
Yeah, and I think that I don't know that I need a overnight portion. I kind of feel like if we could get it done in one day, that would be better for me. But I know that they probably are looking to film like multiple parts of the final and then like keep whatever works. And so like having the overnight affords like 2 days in order to film like more things. But just overall, I feel like a lot of it is falling flat where they used to like, okay, you're going to have to stand out here for, you know, the 6 hours at night and then we're starting back up again. But now it's just like, okay, like go sleep inside and we'll see you tomorrow again.
I hated the "we reward winners around here." I thought it really undercut the idea of this being an insane final when half the field and eventually the entire field was able to sleep overnight in a fire lit cabin.
Yeah, especially like when Casey didn't do anything to get herself inside there.
Mm-hmm. Like, make it the decision. Like, you can sleep inside, but that will affect your time in this way. Something like that.
100%. I would have been super on board with that. I also wanted to say about the final, first of all, shout out Jenny for coming in first overall out of the whole field. Was very well done. And then also my man Kyle, it seemed like, was not too far behind Bananas despite spending the full 6 hours outside and in the final leg having a time penalty compared to, or at least, you know, starting later, not like he was penalized for anything. But it really stood out to me that this does seem like a much different Kyle than we come final time than we were seeing whatever season it was. I just remember him running around in like a full suit of armor, just like gassed. It does seem like Kyle has stepped it up, and maybe he's someone that should have been coming up in the conversation about men who may be well positioned to do well in these next few years.
Kyle's always going to be on my radar as far as, you know, his social game goes. I think he's miles above so many other people. Even when Paulie and Carr are in the house, like, he doesn't seem to have a huge, there's not much of a difference there. I mean, okay, so let me take that back a little bit, because last season there was that whole alliance that Kyle was on the outs of, along with Theo, that they ended up, you know, in that elimination together. But overall, like, people don't dislike him in any way. So I think he's always going to be able to go far. it's just a matter of, you know, when you look at the people that were in this final, he was like, you know, 5 out of 5 on the guy's side of who you actually expected to do well. But then again, he ended up coming in second. It depends on the specific circumstances of the final. But I wouldn't count it out of him, you know, ever getting that win. Plus, the way that he talks about this show, both in that confessional at the end of the final and then on, I want to say, a recent interview he did, on Challenge Mania, he does sound pretty hungry for it. Like, he keeps saying, like, I'm not stopping until I get the win. So I believe him. Like, I feel like he's really looking to go far and do it. I don't know.
Yeah, he said that, but at the same time, in that same interview, he was saying, like, oh, I'm not sure, I might be taking the next one off or something like that. And also with the added worry of, are international people going to even be able to compete on the show? So
yeah, that got brought up earlier. I'm going to keep forgetting about it if I don't say it now, but I'm pretty sure that the speculated cast list that come from those usual reliable sources have a most like pretty good mix of international players. So okay. Whatever that rumor was that we had gotten wind of, you know, a couple weeks back, I don't think that that's still the plan. I think they currently have the usual people on board, and well, you know, we can talk a little bit more about that later, but it seems like they'd probably be filming in like a couple weeks, maybe in a month, 2 months or so. But yes, it does seem like they will be there, so that does help, I guess, you know, going forward as we decide how we think, you know, some of these players are gonna be. I know Jenny in particular as well, somebody that Colin, you were just talking about, was obviously going to stand out as a big threat going forward in the game, and a very high draft pick, I assume. So yeah, a lot of these people just maybe pulling out some surprises when you look at people like Kyle and Rogan. We don't have to talk much about Rogan, but Rogan did surprise me a little bit too.
Yeah, Rogan. I mean, I don't know how we're gonna be counting Rogan out anytime soon, at the very least. And yeah, I kind of skipped over this in getting to Kyle, but Jenny in particular certainly seems like she is going to be a force for as many seasons as they keep wanting her back, which I would guess seems like is going to be a call they keep making for the foreseeable future. I've very much enjoyed Jenny. I don't know virtually anything about how the casual fans have been responding to Jenny, but I would guess after this season, she is going to be pretty popular among the viewing audience, and just anyone in the house with her there, I would imagine, is going to have no choice but to consider Jenny have to default onto thinking that Jenny is likely to be a permanent fixture for a while, which I do think makes a big difference. I think a huge piece of Banana's success over the years is everyone has to play against him knowing this is not just for this season. Every time I come back, he's going to be here, and that is going to have an impact on how you interact with people, and getting to that position, I would say, has a huge amount of value for any challenge return, like regular kind of staple hopeful. And I could see Jenny really benefiting from that in these next few seasons going forward. Like people just taking it for granted that she's going to be here. She's going to be deep in the game, and not only this season, but for the foreseeable future. So let's not fuck with Jenny.
Yeah, I think if anything, people were kind of not huge fans of her at a certain point in the season, when she started to just kind of seemingly be like following alongside Bananas, when she made that move that she decided that she was going to pull Josh in instead of Corey to the tribunal. And people were like hardcore rooting for Corey this season. He had a great edit. It was all about the family. He was all like on his best behavior. Nothing was going wrong. So I think she, you know, being the villain against Corey was kind of putting people off to her. But then at the end, when she comes out with the win, and it's like, all right, yeah, I was following Bananas, and yeah, I made it to the final with Bananas, and we both won. So what are you criticizing in my strategy when I got to the end with him, we both won, and I beat him? So like, what are you saying? Which felt like a fair defense from her.
Totally. Yeah. I am becoming a much bigger Jenny fan, I would say, than I anticipated. She was someone that, at least early on in whatever her first season was, I was caught like totally off guard by how dominant she was from a physical perspective. And I will not be making that mistake again. I think Jenny is going to be very, very near the top of my draft board whenever we are able to come back in here and do that. And furthermore, mm-hmm. I just am struggling to think of more than, there's certainly some, but more than a few, like your Maddies or Caras, like the absolute top tier of competitors that I would say are not sizable underdogs against Jenny in any mm-hmm. random elimination.
Yeah, that is a problem, especially, I mean, like, Dee's not coming back anymore. She was one of the only yeah. people on this season, I think, that really could have given Jenny a run in, like, some eliminations or, like, the final. So I really don't love the winner-take-all method that they've used here in a couple of other seasons, because then at that point, like, why is Josh showing up? Why is Nani showing up? Like, why are they, you know, you're not making any money no matter how far you go. Like, you may as well leave immediately. So as long as we are going to have people that stand so far above the pack, I do not love just, you know, 500,000 for the winners. Everybody else, like, get to step in.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I don't see Jenny being like that that unbeatable person. We had so many people on the women's side that weren't even on this season. When you look at people like Kara, Cam, Ninja, if she ends up coming back,
yeah.
Laurel, who was in the mix and still I feel like could be in the mix. People who went out early on this season, like Tori or Ashley, I feel like I definitely can see someone having Jenny's number at one point or another. So I'm not like locking her in as, you know, the person who will never be defeated. Which I don't think you guys were either. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, just. Certainly one of the top it goes without saying, I would imagine, after just watching her on this season, but for the official record, certainly one of the main contenders for the indefinite future, as far as I'm concerned. But I want to return to something that I find interesting for sure, which is the prize money distribution. And I've always felt like Big Brother has benefited from people in the game knowing only first and second place are getting any kind of prize money. And the problem has become everyone starts playing for the jury stipend, because for so many people that's like that are playing Big Brother, that's like life-changing money. And that just knowing that there's no payout to be had from going from seventh place up to third place, it doesn't make mm-hmm. a difference unless you get into the top two. I like that dynamic. I feel like it encourages people to make more aggressive kind of moves within the game when they know they have to make it to the end or they're not going to get anything. The problem on the challenge is that winner take all thing. Well, it's, I guess, good from a TV perspective for MTV to get to hand out two checks that are both $500,000, and that seems like a very big number. It does feel weird to me every time watching watching Kyle stroll in however many a minute or two maybe behind Johnny Bananas, and that being a $500,000 swing just seems crazy to me. I think I would want a situation where it's and this is something they definitely used to do, and I would wish they would go back to this. It's however many people make the final, last place in the final is worth zero, and then the rest is incrementally paid out for like first, mm-hmm. second, third.
Yeah, and you can even have like a, you know, top shelf prize for first, but then like give me something for second and third, because otherwise it's like you're, especially with the challenge where you are playing to come back season after season after season, it's not about just getting there, it's about like getting your callback mostly, because a lot of them are paid, you know, just as much to show up as they might get in you know, third place on a season where it actually pays out something. So it's, you got to have some incentive, otherwise like why are Melissa and Bailey ever going to finish that final? They have no chance. Why are they, you know, I don't blame them at all for, you know, obviously, especially given the circumstances, but if nothing was going on and Melissa was like I'm out, like wouldn't have blamed her at all.
No, totally. And that's I don't know, I would guess it's a pretty high number at this point, just given how many seasons they've been on. But like Anissa and Nani, it seems like are well aware that they are never going to come in first place, but still find it worth it to keep going back time after time.
Yeah, and that's something I was going to bring up as well, kind of towards the reunion part, but no reason why not to bring it up now, is just I already said this earlier as well. It's just I was getting so frustrated with especially the people like Kayla, Jenna, people who just didn't seem to have their hearts in it. And I'm a Kayla fan, but I hate to see like the format of this show leaves us in a position where people can pull that kind of crap and still be invited back the next season where they just decide, yeah, I really don't want to be here anymore. And I get what Wes was saying on the reunion about like, she didn't actually say that to me, but it seemed pretty clear that both Jenna and Kayla were fine going home at the point that they did. They were, you know, if I stayed, I stayed. If I go, I go, because they know that the call could be right around the corner. And even if you're someone like Jenna, who maybe is not getting the call every season going forward, she's still ending up on the season somehow. Like she still ended up here in season 35. And if, you know, she's the backup for Kara again next season or whoever again next season, and that person drops, then she'll be back on that season. So, you know, eventually that luck does run out for a lot of different people. But in the meantime, things are going just fine. And there are so many people on this cast that are not here for the money in any way, shape or form. I think I agree that, you know, having the different incentives and different like payouts definitely makes sense for the most part. It's just there are so many people here. These guys have so much money. Disgusting. That like Bananas had, you know, he just won his seventh challenge. And of course he doesn't make one mention about the life-changing money that he just won because he already has how much money in the bank. Like all that mattered to him was the legacy and, you know, winning another challenge and breaking the curse. While other people, you know, I don't remember if Jenny did say this, you know, she had a family that she was ready to bring the money back for. And a lot of other people, you know, they want to bring the money back to the person that supported them their whole life, their sisters, their brothers, this, that, grandma, grandpa. And then you have people like Bananas who are like, you know, it's nice to win because he broke the curse, but the money doesn't mean anything to him. So that part annoys me that, you know, just maybe you know, gets under my skin a little bit that so many of these people could just take it or leave it, come or go, unless you're like a rookie, like the Fessy, Casey, Bailey crew, like the Big Brother people who want to make an impression on their first season. Everybody else, it's like, all right, you know, CT, Ashley, it's like, if I go out early, I go out early. I'll see you guys in 36. So that
Exactly. There definitely seems to be that sense from some of the former winners that feel, and justifiably so, like they're going to get to play on basically as many seasons as they want to play on, like CT and Ashley were the two examples that came to mind, where we have certainly seen them over the years show up to a challenge, decide they're just not really feeling it, and go home knowing that they will never have any kind of repercussions from that sort of thing. But yeah, I would be extremely curious to know if you proposed to Johnny Bananas a year ago the idea of, okay, Bananas, you're going to go on the next season of the challenge and you're going to be the winner. You're not going to get any prize money or appearance fee or whatever, but you will get a seventh title. I genuinely wonder. I obviously think he would do it for free. I also think he may pay money to be able to do that. The same, like, I was thinking the other day, I've been in a fantasy football league with my friends for a decade, plus it's been the same 10 of us for a decade at this point. There is an insane amount of pride on the line, much more so than the financial stakes that we play for. And in 2013, I just wrecked everyone, just crushed the entire league, and have never had any kind of remote taste of that kind of success again. And it crossed my mind with like this football season coming up, like I would literally pay money, like I would gladly take a financial hit to just have another season where I could curb stomp everyone. And I feel like Bananas may be in that same boat.
I don't know so you're saying that like he would come back, the idea that Bananas would come back if they didn't pay him, I can't get on board with that.
I think getting a seventh win after that long of a dry streak, he would have done for free.
Specifically after like the Bananas curse and, oh my God, it's such a thing. And, oh, he's too old now. He's not going to be able to ever win it. Like, that's such a thing for him. And like the fact that he was like crying in confessionals about how like, oh my God, this means so much to me. This means just as like much, if not more, than my first win, etc. Like, I definitely am on board with he would have paid money in order to get this.
I don't think there's any chance he would do it now that he has gotten the curse broken. But I think he certainly would have done it for free, if not paid tens of thousands of dollars to break the curse.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think like most a lot of reality stars would pay money to be put back on the shows that they are trying to get back on. The Big Brother season is, upon us, and there are a lot of people who are not getting called for that, that I am positive would pay money to be put back in the house and get another shot at that. But yeah, so fair points all around. And I feel like, Colin, unless you had anything else on the final or anything else there, let's move on into the reunion.
Well, actually, one thing just on Bananas that I wanted to quickly explore in a little more detail that I found really interesting was, of course, everything that went down with he and Wes, him and Wes, heard it both ways, teaming up this season. And then obviously it ends with them in an elimination against each other. I get the sense that they're still they seem on totally fine terms now that the season is played out. I'm sure Bananas is a little less upset with Wes after it worked out in his favor and he went on to win this season. But I did want to know what you guys thought about just the state of that going forward with the whole house, presumably now knowing that Bananas and Wes may be working together.
To me, it's tough because this is the exact format of the show, again, is just that it's the same people doing the same thing every time. And despite knowing that there are other, like, what makes Bananas and Wes any different from another power duo? Makes them any different from, sorry to go back to them, Paulie and Kara, of Jordan and Tori? Like, there are so many different pairs. Corey and Nelson, it's just, there are always going to be these tight duos that you know exist, and you can either work with them or you can, you know, eventually work against them. I think it's always going to be a very bold move for anybody to look at any of those duos and, you know, try to take them out too early, because, you know, then you end up with a target on your back and then you're the one that, you know, the whole house somehow has turned against. So honestly, I don't know that I see it being that big of a deal. I think that people understand why they came together. They needed to do so. And I love the fact that they talked about, you know, during the reunion, how this all started back at the MTV Movie Awards or Music Awards, which they were both at during the filming of season 34 when they got kicked off early. And that's how, like, a lot of people got spoiled on the fact that they were out, because the season was filming and them and Laurel were all at the filming of that. So the fact that they made that, you know, plan or alliance all the way back then, which, you know, led them into 35 is, I guess, kind of funny. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't see it being that big of a deal. I don't know if any difference between them or any other power couples. What do you think, Scally?
I'm really not sure about this one, because I feel like the thing that sets apart Bananas and Wes from the other duos that you said is you're gonna get a lot more screen time and attention for going after Bananas and Wes, and much more likely to come back in a future season. Might not be in as great of a position, but you definitely, I think, are at least coming up with a storyline for yourself, because if Bananas and Wes are not going against each other, and let's say there's not Corey and Nelson and Fessy, like, they need some rival. Like, you can't just have them against all the newbies every time. It needs to have some type of storyline going deep into the season. So I feel like Banana specifically is going to be a juicier target for, like, Wes's allies. Like, if Paulie and Kara come back, here they are again, then, like, they have a good working relationship with Wes, or, you know, any number of other people, and then they want to be his number one ally. Why are you keeping Bananas around? I have no interest in that. So I really think that it's going to be probably a bigger target, like, you know, we see for any one of these veterans. They do well on a season, they get targeted the next one, and vice versa.
In credit to Josh, by the way, as almost sad as it was in the moment, at least he did have blatantly the correct idea in trying to manufacture drama with Wes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he was going for that all season long. Wes shut him down, even at the reunion. He was like, yeah, that wasn't a thing until Josh really, you know, hammered it home, trying to make it a thing. Wes kept saying all season long, I'm never going after him. But I don't disagree with you at all that, you know, it is the right move. You go for a very big name, somebody that, you know, and it's even better that Wes was saying to Josh, well, I'm not coming after you. And then Josh was still able to keep saying, well, I'm coming after you. He kind of looked a little silly doing it, but he made his mark, and he was the one that was involved in that major storyline, which, you know, still kept him relevant.
Yeah, so I guess My only thing is, I was going to say the last person really to pull this, and the last person to pull this at all was probably Devin with Bananas, and that has not seemingly worked out for him. I mean, when he finally was successful and took him out, Devin has all but disappeared. So I don't know that it's going to help Josh any.
What happened to Devin? I forgot all about Devin. I'm unfortunately, until I think it was you, Scally, brought it up on a semi-recent podcast, I'd forgotten completely about Tony. I feel like there's a whole like lost generation of guys there that were kind of promising for a little while.
So yeah, Devin, I mentioned him a little bit earlier. I might as well just, you know, wrap that up now. There wasn't nothing too significant, but he did, I think it was an Instagram Live actually, which I saw on Twitter, of him talking about, you know, his future with MTV and the challenge. And he was basically, what it looked like to me was his version of an apology, where a lot of people who have done, you know, things that are going to be called out in 2020 are, I don't know specifically what he did, because what I think he was apologizing for was the situation, or not apologizing. He was talking about what happened with him and Bananas on that season where they had the big blow up, and Bananas said things to him and then he said things to Bananas or whatever. There must have been like more going on or whatever, because I don't know if that's the exact reason why he has not been back. We also know that Bananas apparently has a big hand in, you know, some casting decisions where he was the one, this is all rumor and speculation, where the rumor was that he was the one who went to production about Pauly before this season, saying like Pauly's posting these like creepy videos and he doesn't seem like mentally stable to come on. And then that's where all of a sudden Pauly was off the cast and then Kara, you know, close behind. So if that is true at all and Bananas has his hand somewhere that, you know, a producer area, then maybe he is preventing Devin from coming back. I don't know, but Devin does seem pretty desperate to get back in there. Tony, on the other hand, I think is doing pretty well with his wife and his two girls. So I feel like the invitation's probably still out there for him, but I don't know that he's been accepting, you know, very interested in accepting lately.
And what about, maybe it's only been just one season off, but what's my girl Cam been up to? Does she seem like she wants to come back?
It's been one season, and yes, okay. She should be back in the next season. I believe her name was on the list of very likely to be there, so she should be back.
I'm going down with that ship. I'm going to continue to believe until she comes through for me.
I mean, you could have used her on your team this time. Your draft went the same kind of way it usually goes.
Not my strongest performance. Although maybe not even my weakest. I've certainly had some clunkers in there.
Scally, of course, pulling out the win there, if anybody forgot, with me in second, Haley very close behind in third, and then Colin in a not-so-distant fourth, but in fourth.
It's a winner-take-all format, so I did just as well as you and Haley.
there you go. Whatever helps you sleep. But anything else before we get to the reunion?
I did want to
talk... You have so many notes.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
The only other thing that I wanted to get to from just kind of major endgame storylines that I thought would be worth exploring at least briefly was what went down at the end with Corey and Nelson. I know you guys were tracking this, and I was as well. The Corey storyline all season long, was really compelling to me. I went into the final probably feeling like Corey was, at least edit wise, my front runner there, and certainly would be able to hang with most people in this finals mix. It obviously didn't end up going his way, but Nelson essentially saying, I'll go, essentially pulling the like Opie from Sons of Anarchy, I got this one, like I'll put myself in the line of fire here, I thought was really, really interesting, especially that close to such a huge amount of money. If Nelson could just make it to the final himself. I had two questions about this. One was, have we seen anything like that before? And the second was just how this was going to impact future seasons, because I assume this was a move made with the knowledge that both of us are going to have opportunities in the future here. So I guess, Scally, what did you do you have firm answers on either of those for me?
Has it happened before? I would not be able to tell you that off the top of my head, but I mean, yeah, I would assume both these guys are coming back, but feels like Corey at this point is a little more ingrained in the MTV family and has more opportunities than Nelson. So it's not as if Nelson is an absolute lock on every season, but I guess you would expect to see both of them back.
I expect to see them both back. I feel like Nelson especially is, you know, never going to be the most compelling TV, but the guy can compete. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. He lost an elimination for like the second, maybe third, probably second or third time in his career. Yeah, it definitely has not been many times that guy loses eliminations. So losing here to Rogan was something that you're not going to see too often, but... Yeah, it's hard to not bring him back when he at least competes. It's like the same thing that we're saying about Fessy. Fessy's not the most exciting television, but he's there, he competes, and that's what they're kind of looking for certain competitors on the show. And then as far as Corey goes, yeah, Corey, he had a great season. He really won over a lot of favor with the fans. He has, you know, he seems to be having all of his stuff together for himself. Taylor, you know, his girlfriend, on the other hand, you know, with the whole Teen Mom situation, so that seems to be over. But that's the exact reason why I think Corey will continue on the challenge, because now that that's not true, because Teen Mom is not about Taylor, it was about Cheyenne and him, of course. So he could probably still continue on there, but I still think that he's focused on the challenge again. He has his head back in the game. He's got allies working all around him. I feel like the two of them are hopefully, which I don't think I would have expected myself to say before the season. I'm hoping that they're in for the next couple of seasons, because I feel like that moment in particular, the one that Colin, you brought up with the two of them at that elimination, was the moment of the season for me. And it was great.
No question. Yeah. And in thinking about it, I mean, Nelson must have at least very close to the same number of career elimination wins as Johnny Bananas. I don't think he's quite up to 14 or whatever Red Skull's Wes had, but he's got to be very near double digits, if not already there. So yeah, I definitely took a long time to become a big fan of either of Corey or Nelson back when they were the scrappy new underdogs making their like debut on the scene. But at this point, that is one of the stories that I'm most interested in seeing how it plays out over the years, because especially when Nelson's saying like, I gladly did it this time and I'll keep doing it for him. I do wonder if Nelson may reach a limit of number of times he's willing to jeopardize $500,000 for Corey. But at this point, yeah, that really, I think, is going to go down, like you said, as one of, if not the defining, like memorable moments of this season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Corey thing in particular, I mean, we saw a couple of comments, I would say, from these guys throughout the season about how Corey and Bananas, usually you're not on the same page, but they somehow survived this season of all just kind of somewhat getting along. Like, I think the other, like, they probably nominated each other. Actually, no, I don't know. Did Bananas did Johnny Bananas ever once sit on that chair being questioned by the tribunal? I don't think he did. Maybe.
I don't think so.
No. He didn't. That's insane. That tells you all you need to know, I guess, for, you know, I guess how much people were playing with Bananas this season. I cannot picture him once in that chair. Wes definitely was. And I don't even know what my point was. But, oh, yeah, Corey and Bananas, they don't usually get along. And Nelson as well with Bananas. So they somehow made it work this season, but I don't see it, you know, lasting forever. So there's definitely more to all of that, I think, that we'll see play out.
That may be specific to Red Skulls.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Red Skulls made our game a little weird. So we'll see. Yeah. How that all goes. But were there any other notes, Colin?
No, I'm sorry. I officially grant clearance to move into the reunion.
No, I mean, we see right through you. You did not watch the reunion, so you don't want to talk about it. The more that we can not talk about it.
I did watch it.
Yes, yeah, I know you did. And we all are not better for it by any means, except you seem to get some enjoyment out of it. We'll start with the host. You enjoyed the host, Mr. Davis?
I did. As I said, I'm a big fantasy football player. I've certainly rostered Vernon Davis many times over the years, so I was excited to see him pop up. A much different reaction for me than seeing, like, Swaggy P or whatever other random athletes or wrestlers have popped up over the years. Vernon Davis is the first one where I felt like they were really pandering to me. So I felt very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Scally, rank the virtual reunions, the challenge, Drag Race and Survivor, if you count that as a reunion.
Well, I'm going to go number one, Vanderpump Rules, that I watched was actually done pretty well.
Okay.
Between this and Drag Race, I might go, despite RuPaul showing up in like a sleeping mask and a onesie, I might go Drag Race only because it wasn't stretched into a second part, and then Challenge, and then I guess Survivor did it the worst.
Yeah, I mean, Survivor didn't have a reunion. They had people on screen and they showed them all together at the beginning, which they did again here. I thought that the Challenge definitely had time to work with it, and I thought they did a relatively good job with the format. I'm like starting to kind of come around on these virtual reunions. Like, I think there's definitely, you know, a lot of reason to not keep it like this forever. But like in the meantime, I don't hate it as much. Like, I like the fact that they tell us, you know, they show us exactly who we need to be looking at the time that we're supposed to. There's no, like, the manufactured fighting and drama that happens at the reunions can be fun when it's worthwhile. But sometimes, I don't know, it just, everybody looks miserable because they are miserable. They're up on that stage for a 12-hour day. Nobody wants to be there after like the third hour at most or whatever. So at least on this, like, we only were seeing people as they were actively involved in the discussion. It was kind of funny as like the night went on. I think it was the first part that like all of a sudden Jay popped up and Big T popped up and you were like, oh, you're here too? I had no idea that they were hiding you somewhere. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different storylines to talk about from this. So I doubt we're going to get to every single piece of it. But Scally, do you have like any particular jumping off point that you want to get us started with?
I mean, do we want to go right to some of the big stuff? Where do you want to jump in here? All right, yeah, let's go with the Nani and Nisa drama.
That was fun.
It was a lot. Definitely made up most of the ads and commercials for this. Was Nani, you know, storming off camera, but like I think you said, a little less exciting in practice. I enjoyed Nani trying to spin everything, but was Nani blackout drunk, or was I the only one who thought so?
I took it as a very sad kind of like, I felt almost uncomfortable watching her. She seemed in a really dark place, and I mean, I don't know if she'd been drinking or not, but I just felt like she was not in the right state of mind to be at that reunion. And I was like, oh man, like this isn't fun.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like Nani was not all there in whatever way that may have been, but Nani, like you said, did not seem ready to handle this at all.
That's the risk you run with the Zoom reunion. I guess it's less risky than the risk you run with an in-person reunion, but there seems like very little they can do about who shows up having spent all morning, you know, at least theoretically. I'm not saying this was necessarily the case, but people could show up to the Challenge reunion having spent all morning drinking, hypothetically, or like we almost ended up seeing, if not literally did see at one point. Like, I don't think there's a producer in there with each one of them. There's not much they can do about someone saying, I'm just going to close my laptop and storm off. There's no, that's the end of my participation.
There's not anything they can do at the moment, but like these people do get paid to be there.
Yeah,
and
true.
I don't know how it works with like you have to be here the whole time. Like, I don't know if there's a clock running with like, you know, your money count that just keeps tallying up higher and higher. And then when you close down the laptop, the counter stops and you stop getting paid. Entirely possible. But yeah, Nani in that preview did, you know, she's like, I could just shut this laptop right now. And I thought that was hysterical at the time. But then, you know, watching it all play out with, there was so much going on with Nani. I feel like she was a star of this reunion, you know, not for the right reasons, where she had the thing with Anissa, which to me felt awkward because it seemed like her and Anissa had already hammered things out a little bit. And then of course it had to come back up on the reunion. And they said this was the first time they were, you know, seeing each other face to face. So that a lot of that got brought back up, and Anissa was using the time to still like defend where she was coming from in that argument. And again, Nani, like she was saying like, I knew I was wrong in that. I acknowledged my mistake. I should not have come at you like that, but you know, they still have to talk about it. So she was annoyed about that. There was the Jenna and Kayla stuff that she was, you know, somehow involved in, where it was like all your friends want to go home. And she was, you know, a factor in, you know, some of the decision making for that. She, I think, voted for Kayla, if I'm remembering correctly, or Jenna or something like that. So she had a lot being like sent in her direction. But as she said, she was like, there's nobody defending me. And I felt a little bit bad for her. I was like, yeah, I mean, it does seem like she's the only one here, which I was surprised about because her and Kayla, I know, have been like really good friends lately, or I thought they were. So I don't know. This was a mess. Colin, did you kind of feel the same, or am I being too sympathetic towards her?
So it feels to me like most reunions about halfway, two thirds of the way through feature some sort of Nani segment along these lines. And while I certainly can't remember the specifics of them from anything over the years, I would say the reunion may be the number one place Nani shines in terms of absolute value of TV entertainment. I don't know that it's necessarily the place she's having the best time or the most fun in the moment, but it feels like the reunions are a better medium for Nani to be an interesting TV character than the challenges themselves.
Mm-hmm. I heard a similar take.
Actually, sorry. One final note, just because Scally brought it up. We do not need to get into the specifics of this, but I also saw maybe half an hour or so of that Vanderpump Rules reunion. Ooh. It is the only Vanderpump Rules content I have ever seen, but they nailed that Zoom reunion. I was hooked into that.
Yeah, you're missing out. You should go watch. We're in
quarantine. I genuinely was saying to myself, like, I might start watching the Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I will say season two, one of the best seasons of reality TV. But okay. Going back to Nani and Anissa, I don't know. You get Nani being like, I don't want to do any more reality TV because of this. Like, I don't believe that. I think Nani will, you know, Liguori, you're the one who saw the who's likely to be on next season. I assume Nani was in the very likely category still.
Yeah, there was some like back and forth disputes because there was like an Instagram account that said that she wasn't going to be there. But then the people that are usually on top of things, you know, a little bit more trustworthy, were saying, no, we still think she's there. So
huge shocks on that list?
No, actually, yeah, no. Let me pull it back up while we get back into talking about the reunion. But I know that I saw Ninja's name on there.
Oh, no.
And, like, she had a lot of bad tweets pulled in recent years, so I don't know why she would be, but yeah, that's just one name that I saw.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the highlight of the entire reunion probably for me, but at least this argument, was when Nani walks back and they're like, so Nani, following up, like, how are you and Anissa going to repair things? She's like, we're fine, we're friends. Like, what? Like, absolutely loved the refusal to answer the question.
Yeah. I guess also at while Liguori is pulling that list up, one other point of potential interest from the reunion is Zach and Jenna and everything going on there. I suppose congratulations on the engagement, but it sounded like they are at least in terms of if we do go back on the challenge, they're going to mix up the plan that it seemed like they were deliberately doing for the last couple of years of, we're going to alternate, or only one of us is going to be there and the other one's going to be at home. It sounds like they want to either be home together or be on the challenge together. Scally, do you know, first of all, if Zach and or Jenna is on that list and what to be expecting on that front?
I'm certainly hoping that they are going to be home together, but I do not know the status. I did see a screenshot recently where someone had asked Jenna basically like, oh, after the wedding, which I think was planned to be, you know, pretty soon and probably got delayed because of all this stuff, you know, how the world is right now, that they said basically like, would you do another challenge? And she said something along the lines of like, we're planning on having six babies, so probably not. So might lose Jenna there for a while, maybe not see them back together.
Hey, being pregnant's never stopped anyone from going to the final in a challenge.
Yeah.
It's fair. But yeah, I would say with the fact that, and we haven't talked about at least this week yet, where, you know, they had some of the more problematic cast members not on this reunion, the fact that they were willing to have, or the fact that they were, you know, deciding to bring Zach back and potentially bury him, which I think his refusal to speak kind of hindered that, maybe indicates they're not looking to have him back anytime soon. At least that's my hope.
in all time pleading the fifth here by Zach, just refusing to ever appear on MTV again so he doesn't have to address anything.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, and why did he show up sitting at the screen with Jenna if he was going to refuse to answer every question? Like, did I miss something? Why? Everything he was being asked, he was like, yeah, I'm not answering them. Like, what are you doing here? Nobody needed you here.
actively needed him not there was my right. preference.
So as far as I've heard, I believe that Jenna and Zach are both not planning on being on the next season, whether that's their choice or MTV's choice, who knows. I see Jenna's name currently listed as not, very likely not on the show, and Zach's name as, I guess they have a, you know, category in the middle where they still aren't 100% sure either way. I expect that if Jenna's out, Zach's probably out as well. I don't see it happening for the next season. I feel like if they want to come back and, you know, continue and try to, you know, leave their legacies in a better place than they are at the moment, which is pretty down in the dumps, then they should do so later on, maybe a couple seasons down the line. And by they should, I don't mean I want it. I just mean, like, they should, you know, that's, they need some time off before people can actually potentially come back around on at least Jenna, probably not Zach. Definitely not Zach for me. But yeah, I pulled up the list. There's really not too many surprises. Besides Ninja, the only other name that has not been on in a little while is Sylvia. Her name is there. That's
okay.
Interesting. But that's also like Anissa tended to be that kind of person where we used to see her name on the list early on and then she wasn't there. So, you know, this is all very, like, very much take this with a grain of salt. We are so far away from actually getting out there. And this is just what, you know, the people have heard early on. But yeah, you still have no surprises on the guy's side, except I guess Leroy is back in there. And you got Ashley, of course, Cam, as Colin wants to hear, Tori, mm-hmm. but no Jordan, Big T.
Ooh.
What's the, if we know anything about this, what's become of Theo and his eye?
I think he's okay. I think he is back to decent enough health where I think he talked about on some kind of Instagram something that he would be cleared to go. So I guess they would just have to cast him again, and I see no reason why they wouldn't. I don't think he's done anything that I've okay. read recently, but yeah.
I know that sound that may sound random. I only bring this up because I, first of all, liked him and would be interested in seeing him back. But the only other note that I have written down here that I wanted to make sure I got to was something that came up on one of the recent podcasts. And I've been trying to work in organically some sort of references to Tupperware or ski instructors, and I'm failing miserably at that. But I did want to throw out a candidate for handsomest guy in challenge history, and it's not that Theo, but Theo Vaughn was the name that came to mind for me when that when that conversation was being had.
Google, I don't know, he's rocking a very hardcore mullet these
yes,
days.
That so. Is Theo Vaughn circa 2003.
We know your taste level is fine, Colin, but Theo Vaughn, not sure if he is going to clear the non-problematic check either based on most of the comedy stylings that I know of, but I don't know if he is. I'm not following the career, but of what I know, I would not be surprised if he is not squeaky clean.
I would not be surprised either, but I do think that guy without a mullet looks a lot like Tom Brady. So it seemed like worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm. I have no takes on the matter at all. I barely remember.
Okay.
sorry to cut that conversation down. I don't know what we were talking about. Nani and Nisa, we kind of covered them. We talked about Jenna and Zach, and I have nothing else to say about them. I don't know if anybody else does. We can get into Bailey and Casey a little bit. Colin, if you have any thoughts on them about how things, I mean, a lot of that happened since you were last on. If you,
I was just more so excited to watch them immediately then be put into the Big Brother house together.
I know.
But now it looks like that's not going to happen.
I know. Literally, like, the one time I was, you know, excited to see Casey on a TV show, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, she's probably not there anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, look, if we get Keisha instead, then I'm happy with it, beyond happy with it, but I don't know. That would have been fun.
Yeah, for me, it was more the silver lining of having Casey on the show rather than why I was excited to see Casey on the show. So I am much happier with the rumored alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Bailey and Casey, obviously we saw how things all played out with those two, with just a whole lot of drama based on Bailey feeling like Casey turned on her after they had, you know, a past together. They came into the game as you know, the Big Brother players. And it kind of, after they had that big blow up, kind of did drop a little bit as they got closer to the final. I think, you know, Casey at one point voted for Bailey to go in to get her red skull. But of course, it was going to come up here on the reunion, you know, featuring Casey and Josh, quarantine buddies. Somehow, such a coincidence that these two are together and all of a sudden now they're not in the house. Who has any idea what that's about? But yeah, Casey... with Bailey on the reunion, we saw Bailey watching back some clips of herself, which also was kind of uncomfortable because, you know, she was in a bad place in the house when she was, you know, going off on Casey. So like watch somebody watch themselves back, like the same thing with Nani. I was like, yeah, this is it's like, you know, I get that they always do. This isn't anything new, but it's still like a little uncomfortable to watch them have to see that again, because I'm sure they try to push it aside. But did anything stand out to you from any of this stuff, Scally?
No, like we said, it was like, okay, here's where it's exciting, and also, like you flagged up, was not thrilled to see Casey and Josh in the same camera view, but otherwise, you know, same stuff we've talked about there.
Yeah, that random man crawling across the floor.
I also, the two moments that I thought were so funny from the reunion was, one of them was when Bailey was having her segment and she kind of stormed off for a minute, and Vernon Davis was like, "Bailey, you still there?" And Swaggy's like, "No, she's taking a break for a minute, but I'm still here." And
yeah.
Like, okay, cool. No, we're not going to follow up on that at all. And then the other one was, I think it was like the cold open, essentially, of the first part of the reunion, was CT saying like, "All right, just ask me whatever you want to ask me right now. I don't want to sit here for 6 hours." I almost made a reference to that at the beginning of this podcast, but I didn't know who would get it and if people would think I was just a total asshole.
No. To bring that one up, so I'm glad that you brought it back up.
Yeah, and then the other thing, just while I'm thinking of it, in terms of the reunion itself, was when I started part two this week, I first of all said to myself, oh, thank God, this one's only an hour long. And then the things that they were getting into early on was primarily about like behind the scenes stuff and just unseen random footage that was kind of hilarious or interesting or whatever. I literally asked myself and had and like checked my DVR to make sure that I wasn't watching the wrong thing and that I didn't like skip over the actual part two of the reunion and was now watching some bonus thing about behind the scenes. I thought there was no way this could be the big dramatic second part of the reunion that I had in mind.
Yeah, I had been I had seen somewhere that they were potentially going to go back to doing a Shit They Should Have Shown, which I had been very excited for because they used to be a lot more fun back in the day. This one felt like homework as I was watching it, so yeah. Not super exciting. There was a couple things in there, but
And what was everybody like moving their location? Like Nani was in a different room. Wes was in a different room. A couple of them were in the same spot, but I was like, what is it? This wasn't a different day or anything, was it? It was just,
I kind of feel like maybe, or at least like a little bit later, because it didn't feel like we had everybody, and the rumor of a Shit They Should Have Shown only really popped up towards the end of the season. So I'm wondering if they decided to add that on, given what the current TV schedule was looking like.
I mean, it also may be the case, just with the Zoom logistics, it wouldn't be that difficult, and it may honestly be easier to have a schedule kind of blocked out of, we need these people at these times. And maybe it was a situation of, Wes, we need you from noon to 2 p.m. and then again from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Or whatever, and may have in between the two kind of recording sections decided that like the acoustics or visuals or whatever were worth changing. I don't know. But that would be at least one theory. I have a hard time imagining that someone like Fessy or whatever was literally just sitting there saying nothing for 6 hours, watching all these other conversations happening.
Yeah, no, I couldn't tell you. I saw a lot of clips that day of people's like Instagram stories because they were filming, they were bored, this and that. I liked the part where Wes specifically like called out Josh. He was like, "I just saw you on my Instagram story." I was like, "Why? Why did he show you that? Like, how did he get to? He showed it to the camera that he was on your story. Like, what were you looking at?" I was confused. But yeah, they were all definitely like. As most reunions tend to be, just kind of, you know, probably bored. I'm sure, I don't know if they were, like, you know, in Life of a Podcaster when you can't have an AC going because it just makes too much noise. And I don't know if they were told that they couldn't have the same thing as well because it was, I think, June. So it was probably hot some places. Some of them had some funky backgrounds going with a messy bed on Corey's end. Some of them had nice ones, though. Jenny was in a nice little room. Who else? CT was like in like, you know, in front of the kitchen. Bailey and Swaggy were literally in the kitchen.
Yeah, Jenna was sitting on her bed and I thought it was superimposed at first. It looked like the bed was too like the sheet was too taut still for someone to actually be sitting on it. But then when Zach came and joined, you could see that the sheet had finally started moving a bit. And I was like blown away at how computer rendered that looked.
Yeah, we'll call out. I mean, I understand I'm at home podcasting in my pajamas usually, but I'm not on video. Corey and Kyle showing up in like full cut off workout tees was an interesting choice. Not that the fashion at the challenge reunions is top notch, even when they are deciding to go out and buy an outfit for the day, but people really did seem like they rolled out of bed on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, Bananas was like literally in a studio, like a banana studio with like the background and everything. That was pretty over the top. Wes was in a very nice-looking
convinced
house.
Myself that he has his entire house or apartment decorated in banana themed paintings.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would. There's at least one in the bedroom, one in the living room for sure.
Mm-hmm. Colin, anybody that I'm sure you heard when we talked about it back a couple weeks back. When this was filming about who was not going to be there, but anybody again, like surprise you that you didn't see, we had, Maddie was missing, Jordan, Bear, right. Obviously D and Rogan.
So none of it surprised me in terms of, MTV feeling like potentially certain people are not, worth giving more exposure to at this point, in time for one reason or another. And I actually thought that they did a good job not drawing any attention to the fact that so many notable people were not there. It literally was kind of an ongoing process for me as I was watching the reunion, remembering, even knowing to expect that there were going to be a lot of major people missing. I kept finding myself remembering every 20, 30 minutes or so another person who I was just now realizing wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they managed to talk about the Kayla thing, even though Bear wasn't there. So
yeah.
They still got that in, which that was fun. Was it? No, I don't know. Kayla talking about how, you know, finally, like, I guess opening up about how things went down with her and her ex, which was well documented on this podcast. But she seemingly, you know, is at a place now where she's happy to talk about it because she is with her new boyfriend. She did spend, you know, those 2 weeks with Bear after she got off the show, which seemed to have a big influence in why she left the show, that she wanted to go be with him and didn't really care to be in the house anymore. And then she goes home after she's done hanging out with Bear, packs up all her stuff. And next thing you know, she's dating this new guy, Sam, and she's been in the UK with him for like 2 months now or something. So things seem to be going fine with her. And I think actually, no, that's not true. I'm not sure what her status is for next season, but I despite, you know, the lack of effort this season, I still wouldn't be surprised to see her there. So
not at all. I was going to ask actually, and it sounds like you don't have the list still up, but I would be curious if any of the people that were missing from tonight's reunion were likely to be on next season. Was this just like a, you know, one night thing where we're hiding them, or are we getting a season off for most of these people?
No, there's not. Nobody that was that was missing from the reunion was on the list for next season. I'm looking over it again one more time to make sure. But no, that's as of right now, that's not the case. Tori is on the list. Jordan, not on the list. Okay. You know, and again, this always subject to change. change, but I guess like the one that would surprise me about that is Bear, because you know that they would love to keep having him on. Who knows what their plans are for that. Rogan is another one that, you know, he wasn't at the reunion. He claimed it was because he had like just had something work, yeah, right. Some kind of like dental work done or something. But I mean, MTV never like shut him down and said like, you can't say that. So he's been running with that. And I know he was just on Challenge Mania himself, and they talked about some things at the top about some comments that he made, or I think he had used some derogatory words a couple years back. Yep. And he was like trying to apologize for that, but he also kind of went the route of like, if it offended you, then I am sorry.
It was such a bad apology, and I wanted to bring it up. It was so bad. There were so many qualifiers. It was like, okay, well, Rogan, you used the N-word. Stop. Just stop. And it was like, well, it was a lyric, and if anyone was offended, but like, I understand that it was like very much, but if, and it's like, no, stop with the but, stop with the ifs. Let's also address the transphobia that you've had in all your tweets.
Yeah, that wasn't touched
like,
on.
Nothing of that was touched on. So it's like, it was almost 10 years ago. Like, I don't care. I don't care at all. Stop giving me the qualifiers. Give me the apology. And then everyone else can evaluate whether, okay, it was 10 years ago. Are we okay with moving on? Like, that's not your decision. Do the apology. Stop with the qualifiers. It was bad.
Well, I'm sure he would feel.
I'm glad Challenge Mania like asked him the question and like called him on it, but like for him personally, it was not like addressed well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm sure he feels horrible if it made you feel that way, Scally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I appreciated that they did bring it up, but he didn't quite run with it in a very positive direction, at least for either of us and probably for most other fans. So who knows what his future is on the show. I think next season's cast will probably look pretty similar to this season's, maybe with a couple of exceptions, with obviously, you know, some other people mixed in that had been taking the season off or whatever it may be. As far as the reunion goes, another person I wanted to talk about was the other side of the Casey screen. I wanted to kind of talk about Josh, who really was under fire for a lot of this for a variety of reasons. The West thing came up, his gameplay ability came up, and about how, you know, he's such a loyal person in the game, loyal to a fault. His kissing ability came up on the shit we should have shown episode with Melissa. So rough time for Josh. Colin, are you still, where are you at with Josh these days?
Why is he doing this to himself? Like, I guess the stipend is worth it, but it does seem like the challenge, at least, continues to just kind of clown on him.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Josh has always been, and like since the first day he was on, he's like, I want to do this in order to like help my family that helped me, which is awesome. Like totally. And like I've said a million times, whenever I've seen Josh like out at like events or whatever, he seems like the nicest guy. I could use a break, but he like seems great. And I understand why he's taking like the easy paycheck showing up, especially when seems to be an alternate, at least on this season. I don't know about next season, but probably got to take them as you can, because it seems like maybe that's dying down a little bit. But yeah, an embarrassing night for Josh for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I get wanting to provide for the people you love. And this probably is at this point in Josh's life, the easiest money that he can make, just showing up to the challenge. I just have concerns for anyone who may be falling into the pattern of getting too invested into this franchise where they have no chance of ever winning first place.
Yeah, I still had my bet set at Josh winning zero lifetime eliminations, and you know, we're on track for that, especially, you know, him not being on next season would just keep furthering that. So I feel good about that. And yeah, besides the fact of like this whole thing, you know, playing out the way it did on the reunion, also to be, you know, rumored to be on the Big Brother cast, potentially be spending all these months pre-gaming and then to not be on, this would be rough for him. And I do think that a lot of this all put together, like Josh has, this is not the first reality show he's gone on where he's had somewhat of a negative experience, and you know, been getting like some negative feedback from fans, from fellow cast members, and I feel like that has a lot to do maybe with the relationship he has with Nani, where that bond has become so strong. Because I mean, Nani is another one who specifically, you know, she specifically does get a lot of hate messages over the years because she's always involved in something. But she's been around the game for way longer than Josh. She knows, you know, being on reality TV and all of, you know, the things that come along with it. I feel like the two of them probably bond over that a lot. Josh has always been very vulnerable and open with, you know, on social media and with, you know, people that he, I guess, keeps close to him about how tough it is, because he gets so much negativity towards him online. And I mean, as much as, you know, even we joke about him here, they joke about him on the show, like, I don't know how he takes it. This is why I don't recommend going on reality television. You have to be a pretty strong person to be able to take all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he gets a lot of it. So it was nice to, I guess, see Nani and Anissa, and I don't know if anyone else, like, trying to stand up for him and being like, all right, Josh he's a nice guy. He's a good kid. Like, everybody go easy on him, but he really just, you know, was getting beat up.
Well, I mean, I get it. I get being willing to put yourself through that when, like it did on Big Brother, it ends in him receiving life-changing money. It just seems like that is obviously not going to happen for him in any circumstance, under any circumstances on the challenge. And that's why I return to the question of why he keeps doing this to himself, unless it's just the attention that is what he's after.
That would be my guess. I mean, I don't know what else these people want. I get the money is great and all, but is the money that he's making off these shows worth the mental toll that it takes on him when he, you know, is sitting home in between seasons?
Sheer opportunity cost of time spent in the gym and filming these seasons that could have been spent pursuing a career.
Yeah.
I mean, he is talked about on other podcasts where people have said, like, oh, do you plan on going on more shows? And this was, like, specifically right after Big Brother, so I would not have the update on Josh, but I remember him, I don't remember if it was a family business or whatever, like, Josh was talking about how he has, like, other opportunities that are running alongside him also going on reality TV. I don't know if those are still going on, but Josh seems to be, if I were to, you know, power rank the people on any given challenge cast who also have some other type of job or income, Josh would be near the top of someone that I would expect that from. So at least there's that for him.
Does he have some thriving OnlyFans that I'm not aware of?
I know of. I don't remember what it was specifically. It was like some like goods. I don't know if it was an Etsy shop or whatever the case may be.
I have no memory.
But yeah, it was something. I don't remember what though.
I have no memory of this, but I have not seen it on any of his social media, so I'm going to assume it's no longer a thing.
That is possible.
Colin,
I always forget that Josh, I mean, Josh is only like 24 or something like today, right? He's very young.
He's 27 or so now.
Oh, okay.
The youngest person on the season was Swaggy, who was 25.
Oh, okay. I thought Josh was like 23 when he won Big Brother, but maybe. Yeah, okay.
He's 26 now.
Yeah.
I guess that checks out. It was 3 years ago, so
that makes sense.
Math, right? Colin, how'd you enjoy the debut of Baby Vienna?
Oh, could not get enough. You know, I am the staunchest pro-baby podcaster in the game, so I would like an entire spinoff dedicated to Baby Vienna. Actually, I guess that already exists, right, in Teen Mom?
Yes. I wonder if they would contact her for it. Well, she's not a teen, but neither is Cheyenne. So, the baby's made its debut.
Do they have Teen Mom in the UK?
I have no idea off the top of my head. They did call, you know, talk a little bit about the Melissa running the final on the reunion. So that was, I guess, something. I think her and Kyle, I mean, most of the UK people had the shakiest connections, where you could tell that, like, their voices were kind of distorted along the way. Trying to think if anybody else did.
I was praying for her to dress that baby up with, like, a bunch of tattoos and a bandana and tell Kyle he was the dad.
Oh, my God. After all the rumors and stuff they've been through, I don't know that she's joking about that. What else is anybody we saw a little bit of Jay talking about his elimination. It really was like so much filler. It was like, you know, nice to see Jay but Jay was there.
No, Jay on the list for next season. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Jay is, I believe, yes, on the list. Jay Fessy. Okay. But If I haven't reminded you, this could change at any time. So I don't know. yeah, I would, of course, love to see Jay back. We didn't see much of him, but it seemed pretty promising. But there, you know, there was the Ashley calling out Bananas and Jay thing that happened for the Morgan.
It's always weird for me to hear Bananas talk about Morgan because he's so insistent that it's her decision not to do reality TV, which I don't know if that is true or not. But hey, it seems like a qualifier for the relationship and they seem happy. So that's that.
So happy for them. I don't know.
You sound happy.
Yeah. I really don't know where else to go. I mean, the reunion was, as we all mentioned, was kind of very slow. It, you know, they went to a bunch of different people. They had different groups popping up here and there and, you know, talked about certain things. But a lot of it was just like showing clips that we already saw. We saw Bananas and Ashley, which was literally months ago, a whole lifetime ago, when the two of those got into a fight. Two of them, we saw the Melissa and Josh fight, which was fun at the time, but I'm over it now. Swaggy and Josh fight, same thing. I don't know. Just this whole season, as much as, like I said, there were some good things about it, just even seeing all of these fights back, I was not the most enthusiastic about, you know, seeing reactions to it or anything. I don't know if I'm like being too much of a downer, but that's how I was watching it.
If you, let's just say from like 30 on, if you were to be binge watching a season or recommending a season to someone to binge, where would you put it up against those seasons at least?
At the bottom.
Really? Below 34?
What's 34? 34,
34 yeah. Is the big team. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm a Cara and Pauly fan and Ashley and Cam, and I was happy to see them doing well, even though I didn't, you know, it wasn't the most exciting or anything like that, but when my favorites are doing well, then I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's like still the reactions that you get of the people, like even though it was predictable, you have people like really trying to stay out of elimination and stuff like that, which I don't know. I think probably it's because this one is more of a fresh disappointment in our minds is why people may be leaning towards 34. But I think overall for me, it was probably better than 34, but below the other seasons in the first half of the 30s that we've gone through now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I think I'm on board with that. And we talked about the Corey and Nelson thing probably being the most memorable in-season point, or you know, highest point of in-season drama or emotion or whatever. And I would guess that a couple years from now, I will be referring to that as, you know, it's like the time Nelson said he would go into elimination for Corey on whatever season that was. I am guessing that's about how this season's going to age for me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Bananas went by total madness, but I won't remember for, and obviously Jenny winning as well. I'm not going to be like forgetting or anything, but I would probably categorize this as one of the more forgettable drama wise. And I would, to kind of return to what we opened the podcast talking about, probably say that had a lot to do with the Red Skull twist.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to want us to do a lot of remembering of the Wes and Bananas thing. When we think of this season, like that's going to be a main sticking point, even if it didn't land quite, you know, amazingly with everybody, but they'll want us to remember it.
That's true for sure.
Yeah, that will be the one because they'll remind us of it every season. So that will end up sticking out.
Right. What else? We had Corey killed a fly. That happened. Vernon was frozen at one point. I'm just looking for all like the funny things. I thought that was cute the way that they edited it with, you know, just coming back from a break and it would just be like CT laying down on the couch like half asleep. Corey killing the fly, and that was all funny. Ashley was a star in as much of a way as she could be, you know, not really involved in much, but
like she said, she doesn't need to make a storyline. She is the storyline. So always happy with Ashley on my screen.
Yeah, I thought that clip got played like four or five times, which I was not upset about at all.
That was an incredible line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't think I have anything else. Do you guys have any other notes from anything at the reunion? I know this was a reunion recap podcast, but look, this is what we had.
No, I don't have anything. on the reunion, and I also believe I am fresh out on just random tangents I can go on. So, Scally, do you have anything else?
No, pretty much out. I mean, given that, like, even the, like, never-before-seen with Big T going to the hospital, like, we talked about that on the podcast because it was an online exclusive. Like, it has been seen, so they really weren't giving us much to work with there.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as season 36 goes, I kind of already, you know, covered most of that, you know, reading some of the names, some of the surprises. So I don't really know that there's a whole lot left there. You know, the Big Brother people might be in question given the couple of them going back into the house. If they are, maybe they're not. Could just be Bailey, who still seems to be on the list. But hard to say for sure how that's all going to go. We know that some Big Brother people were contacted from BB21, but I also don't think their contracts would let them go on this year. So I don't know what the point is of calling them just yet.
The only thing I would say is, like I said before, anyone interested in binging the challenge, it's now on CBS All Access. And that does give me a little bit, at least piques my interest in terms of, like, would they say, like, okay, now that we own MT, like, Viacom, we can decide to, like, this is within, like, your deal of your contract and, like, approve it, basically. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. It gives me a slightly more hope in that.
Right.
Not that I'm begging to see anyone from BB21, but in seeing future Big Brother players, which we won't have for a couple years.
Yeah. Colin, what did you think about the peeing in the shower segment? I'm sure that was your favorite.
Oh, couldn't get enough of that. If we could get an entire spinoff series there, that seems like it could be a compelling source of content here for MTV.
Yeah, I mean, did you care at all about the fact that I remember when they were filming and, you know, the little news starts to trickle out of how the what
choice
the season's
of words
like
trickle out.
I did that fully on purpose, definitely. we knew that they were going to be in a bunker. We knew that they had porta potties, but I feel like that stuff never came up on the season itself. I feel like we definitely got way more at this reunion about it than we did at any point during the season. I don't even know if they mentioned a porta potty once during the season, but
other than Jenna having sex, or not Jenna, Kayla. Yeah. Sorry. No, that was a thought that I thank you for bringing this up. That I had what's that?
Anytime.
Yes, when they were going through how brutal it was with the porta potties and not having any fresh air, and just being stuffed in this bunker the whole time, it reminded me of a take that I've had. I guess I've been putting out there for close to a decade at this point, Survivor-wise, just about the conditions on the players, and I feel like this is a perfect illustration of putting them under these kind of living conditions does virtually zero for the TV product. All it does is make them miserable and less entertaining on the TV product, I would say. I hope this is something that they do not go back to anytime soon. And the only thing I can even think of close to this before was the beginning of Invasion, when all the like prospects or whatever had to live on the beach for the first little while. I don't remember the exact specifics of how all of that went down, but I hope and would anticipate that the Challenge House will go back to being the luxury mansion that we are used to and that they are used to at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would hope so as well.
Definitely agree with the point of it making people less interesting. I would say it was a little tone deaf to spend so much time on there when many, many, many people have spent in much smaller conditions for the last number of months and would kill for that pool and track and everything else that came with the Challenge House. They're like, it was so hard. Like, I get it. You're used to luxury. Let's calm it down, though. Like, consider what everyone else was doing right now, mm-hmm. or at least should be doing, Josh and Casey. But you know, I would say that maybe not the best couple first minutes on that.
Yeah, I definitely don't need that in the future. I'm fine with the nice houses if he keeps their spirits up. They talked about it. There's a couple of different times during the season, during interviews, you know, after the season, where the cast members have talked about everybody was just down. Nobody was up. Nobody was working out. I think they were talking. So I don't remember who specifically said it, but like during the final, a lot of them were getting all like gassed out because they hadn't been able to properly work out because they were underground in a bunker, no sunlight, like no motivation to do anything and work out. So they were all kind of feeling weak, you know, just eating and, you know, just kind of not in their peak physical shape. So when you combine it all, it's kind of like, yeah, it was a cool looking setup. And the idea of like, we were in an underground bunker, maybe like a one-time thing. I'll live with it, but don't need it in the future. So yes, that's really all I have as well. Colin's done with his notes. I'm done with my notes. Scally, do you have any more?
I'm good.
Okay.
The only one other last thing that I wanted to say is thank you guys for another excellent season of coverage here for us. I had a great time listening along with you guys, and it certainly went a long way in helping keep me at least semi-informed about the actual scoop of what was going on with all of these people. So job really well done there, and hoping you will continue to be interested in coming back and doing this, assuming there is more challenge coming in the not-too-distant future.
We'll talk pay after we get off here and and figure all that out, because, you know, nobody does anything without pay. Like, how many podcasts do we do in the season? How this all lines up? That's not for the listeners to hear. So we'll get to that later. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, thank you. Thanks, Colin. We always appreciate it. Of course, it's thanks to you that we have the platform to do so. So even though both of our feelings were hurt last week when we didn't put out a podcast and nobody seemed to care, we're still excited to continue.
That is 100% a reflection on the reunion and not you guys.
I guess I'm one to take things personal, so it's fine. It's fine. Scally, do you have anything?
No, just thanks for Colin for both coming on and allowing us to do this every week. But otherwise, I'm all good on this season.
Yeah, so if there's anybody out there that is listening to a podcast on the Dom and Colin Podcast Network and doesn't know where to follow Colin, I don't know what to tell you, but Colin, what's going on lately, and where Twitter and all that stuff do you plug things on your own podcast?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very little going on lately, in terms of podcasts, on the main feed. I guess we did just do, a BB22 podcast talking through the speculated cast. I know, we're probably less than a week out at this point from a lot of that being totally invalidated when half those people aren't eventually there. But for the Big Brother fans, I'm assuming exist, of the people who have made it this far. If you missed that, check that out. Over on the Patreon feed, we're also talking Big Brother, over there on Big Brother 8, about halfway through that rewatch. And then I'm sure whenever we find out more about the future of Survivor or just reality television being filmed, we will have more coming on the main feed, whether it's talking current seasons that are in the process of airing, or we may have to go back to some older seasons to get some content up on the main feed. But yeah, if you haven't already subscribed, it is this very feed that you were finding this podcast on, that we are talking Survivor, Big Brother, much more, I would imagine, over the course of this summer. And other than that, I'm just on Twitter at Colin Stone, no Instagram, nothing else really going on, just trying to make it through the hell world we currently live in without going completely insane with mixed results. But guys, thank you for allowing me this couple of hours to distract myself.
Of course. And yes, so hopefully we'll see more content in this feed, especially with the Big Brother season. So if you guys go, you know, a couple weeks and you don't see anything in here, just send Colin, Dom or Colin a tweet, and maybe you'll, you know, light
there's
a fire.
There will be
underneath.
More coming soon, I promise.
Okay, well, I'm excited for that. I'm hesitant to believe it, but I'm excited.
Listen,
if it does happen.
It was a long season for me, okay? I did like 20 preseason podcasts and then every week.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Scally, it is time for Big Brother season, which means big things for you. Where can everybody be finding you?
I am back on Twitter and active again, finally. it was a little bit of an off season there where there was nothing to tweet about, but with Big Brother being back, I am back on Twitter, enthusiastically tweeting at Brian_Scally, and allegedly Love Island is coming back. So as far as I know, we're still covering that on RHAP over with Kirsten, and with a show that is all about reintroducing people into the bubble that they're living in. I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see if they manage to actually film a season, then we'll be covering it over there.
Yeah, there you go. I will watch. I mean, maybe Dom and Colin will cover it. They are looking for a show. Who knows?
Oh yes, that's definitely top of the list.
Either that or a Teen Mom podcast coming soon to this network. I'm sure
it's going to be a Vanderpump Rules rewatch podcast.
I was going to say, I think Vanderpump Rules may be the safest bet at this point.
And who says no? I mean, I think we'd all sign up for it. So yeah,
I'm
down for that. Follow me on Twitter if you would like to, at Matt Liguori, if you want to keep up with anything I'm doing. Big Brother season is happening, so I'm sure you'll hear me talking or tweeting about that. Last reminder, if anybody out there is a Glee fan, still doing that podcast, The Choir Room, with Amon Adwin. So you can check out my Twitter and you'll find a link to that page, to that feed, and all that good stuff. So thank you guys for listening all season long. Hope you've enjoyed the ride with us, even if I didn't love the season. Hopefully we still had a fun time here on the podcast and you guys enjoyed listening along. Sounds like Colin gave us the green light that we are approved for a third season of challenge. Ooh. Coverage coming whenever.
The rumors are circulating. I've seen speculation that you guys are in the mix to be considered for the next season.
Yes, up in the air, neither confirmed nor denied or whatever. So hopefully that does come to be whenever the challenge does get filmed. So it might be a little while, but I'm sure we'll maybe find something to talk about in between now and then. But that is all that we have for you today. Thank you guys for listening. And as the great Colin Stone might say, take care, everybody.